when you serve the Taj, you serve the nation. I was not born CEO, you know. You worked up the ladder. I was doing the dishwasher. I was doing the washing machine. Three things you can learn as a good manager from three continents. American marketing, European management, and Asian emotional intelligence. What we try to package as messaging is whatever you say about India, the opposite is equally true.
I brought it up because Indian hotels spoil you.
It's good.
Hello, my name is Anupam Kher. Welcome to my show where every week we take a deep dive into the multi-layered world of India, Bharat, and tonight's guest is a true treat. He's the CEO of Taj Hotels, Resorts and Palaces.
Puneet Chhatwal is one of India's leading voices in hospitality. He began his career in Europe, rising through the ranks of international hotel chains before returning to India to lead the Taj Group, steering its legacy into a new era of growth and innovation.
Welcome, Mr. Puneet Chhatwal. Okay, let's talk Bharat. So happy that you have found time to be on my show, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. An honor and privilege.
Thank you. So we have a lot of questions, but I want to know, what is your first memory of Taj Hotel?
It's very interesting that you asked this question because the journey began when I was 15.
Okay.
And this goes back to the year 79-80. Mm-hmm. And I was growing up in a nice neighborhood in Delhi. And a few kilometers from that neighborhood, the Taj Mahal Hotel Delhi was being built, and it opened in 78. But 79-80 is maybe the first time I went there with some of the friends from the neighborhood that we were there. We just walked. You know, those days we didn't have so many cars and also not those kind of means to, you know, take a cab and go to the hotel. And they had a very popular coffee shop which created the renaissance of all-day dining, as it is called today, and a coffee shop, as it was called 45 years ago in Delhi, called Machan, which is still there.
Iconic.
It's one of the iconic restaurants. And a coffee with as many helpings as you wanted, called the Kona coffee, was for 4 rupees.
Oh, wow.
So even then, 4 rupees was very, very, very affordable.
Mm.
And people used to wait for at least an hour to get a table in Machan. So they had a soup, a goulash soup for 7 rupees, a beautiful ice cream called the Bullseye for like 12, a burger for 14. And the pricing might have been those days, but even if you were to compare it to today's value of that money, it was really like a giveaway. And so that became our frequent spot to visit with friends, and then later with the school crowd.
Did you have a sense of awe when you were thinking, or you were just going to some place?
No, it was a sense of awe. We did not grow up with hotels, so this was like doing it on our own. Maybe my parents had never been to something of the equivalent of Taj at that time.
Wow.
And as I was very interested in sports and other activities, I thought maybe this is one profession which will help me balance my interest, get me very quick on my feet, and also help me earn some money on the side, so I'm not dependent on pocket money from the parents. And that's exactly what happened thereafter. So I could say that Taj deserves all the credit for me entering into hotel business.
And then you visited Taj. About there is an incident, I was told.
Actually, Anupam, there was a ritual. Every time I came to India, the meeting point became that hotel. And within that hotel, it was Machan, the coffee shop. The time I flew back from Europe to take on this job, I went, I stopped in Delhi and went to Mumbai the same day to join the group. But this was one trip prior to that. And I had to meet some school friends. I met them at Machan. Then I was meeting some business friends. And they took me to the private membership club, which is called the Chambers. And then there, when I excused myself, I think those Chambers members told the staff, or as we call them, associates, that this is your incoming new managing director, and then the hotel turned upside down. So,
so I always say to incidents like this, kuch bhi ho sakta hai. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
What was the kind of pressure when you joined the company? Was there any pressure, or you joined you? And what was your previous job?
Well, prior to this, I had two very good assignments. One of that was running the equivalent in those days of the Taj called the Steigenberger Hotels, which we created an umbrella brand at that time called Deutsche Hospitality. Approximately a portfolio of 120 hotels. So I ran that group for 5 years as the chief executive officer. And before that, I was the global head of development of Residor Hospitality, at that time called Carlson Residor, but today it's still, the brands are the same, and they've added some brands, but it's Radisson Hotels worldwide. So that time I was based out of Brussels. That was a job in which I spent another 15 years. There was no pressure really. It was a moment of pride. I always thought that working for a group, which at that time in my previous jobs, we related it to Mr. Ratan Tata, and that what an iconic business person India had put on the world map. Absolutely. And what an iconic group the Mr. J.R.D. Tata and the founder Jamshedji Tata put on the world map. And the second thing was, within that group, Taj is the oldest operating company of the Tata Group.
Right.
The companies that were started before that are not operational anymore. Tata Steel came after what Jamshedji called Indian Hotels Company.
Right.
Because that was the story behind it. He wanted to create a hotel for the Indians,
right,
for Bharat, or for India.
Yeah.
And I always believed that when you serve the Taj, you serve the nation.
How wonderful.
And I think it was a moment of a lot of, you know, meeting the expectations. Homecoming, mother was ailing, looking after the mother, you know, a lot of things just fell together. And I returned back to India after spending 28 years in Europe.
Wow.
So my home was Europe.
So how is the process? Did you meet Mr. Tata? Was there any kind of an unofficial, informal interview?
I did not meet Mr. Tata, but I did have an interview with the current chairman, Mr. Chandrasekharan. And once I was hired later, they were traveling to Germany for a possible acquisition, where I ended up meeting with Mr. Tata for the first time. I think we just had a wonderful chat for like 20, 25 minutes. And then he organized for me a series of interviews the same day. And in the evening, he says, welcome on board. So that's how fast it went. There was no such big plan or big executive search firm or recommendations here and there and something in the making over several months. I think the company needed someone as the position was available. Just, you know, the rest is history, I think. It just happened.
I believe personally that everybody teaches you something or the other. What did you learn from Mr. Tata? One or two things that you thought, okay, this is not what I had expected or thought, but this is something which I should imbibe or I should follow. Was there anything particular?
Two small things, I would say. And two, if you look at it from a different lens, like very big things. One is the attention to detail by really focusing on what the other person is saying. I think he was a phenomenal listener. And he would just focus on exactly what you are saying and get into the detail of what you are saying, without asking you too many questions, just through concentration and being a good listener.
Wow.
So that's something unique. I did not see that in many people before that. The second is leadership with compassion or leadership with empathy. I think these are two virtues, and leadership with empathy and compassion, together with the chairman of Tata Sons, came really very well in, you know, in our heart, minds and soul when COVID-19 hit. And there is one thing you hear, one thing is you talk, you see, the other is the leadership in action. And that's what I saw the Tata Group and all Tata Group companies, including the Taj, being there just for the community, and it didn't matter what it cost in terms of time, you know, human capital, whatever, real, you know, financial means, etc., etc., just went on to do a mission of serving the community.
I always wonder, there's a lot of superstition when it comes to traveling to India. You know, sadly having to do with poverty, pollution, diseases. Do you find it's justified, or shall we, how do we fight that, or it's not there anymore?
We don't need to fight any such thing. I think, like yourself, I spend a lot of time in contributing through the CII, the Confederation of Indian Industry.
You're the chairman.
I am the chair there, and also for Federation of All Association of Tourism and Hospitality. And what we try to, you know, package as messaging is whatever you say about India, the opposite is equally true. So we cannot just say about poverty. If India is poor, India is also very rich. It's rich in culture, it's rich in history, it has a lot of rich people. There are more rich people in India than in any country of Europe that I know of.
Right.
But we have, at the end of the day, 1.5 billion people. And if 10 or 20% of them are in real poverty, then it's also a few hundred million people. That's maybe more than the entire population of Germany, France, and UK combined. So I think we need to be very candid. And this is something very special that India has to offer, that you see in the same country, on the same streets, you have all this difference in the living standards, in the means, in the affordability, and what people can or cannot, but still people live happily, and they could belong to any religion. And you still have the celebration recently, the Festival of Colors, where you forget who you are, where you came from. And it's just a very fascinating experience for a lot of Westerners, especially, because this does not exist in that part of the world.
Absolutely.
When the Taj having the palaces, which we call the living legacies of the Taj, you have the real Maharajas, Maharanas staying in those palaces, having the opportunity to dine with them, to have a drink with them, and actually see what life in a real palace could be like. That's very special.
Also, I feel that it was kind of a put India in a cliche, ki this is because sometimes Europe or West looks at India their own point of view, which is not true. Taj ke samne, there is all kinds of people come there. Of Gateway of India, when they look at Taj, there is a sense of wonder. And that sense of wonder is not only in middle class or lower middle class. I've seen rich people, foreigners all over the place come. When they look at Taj, it's a kind of a monument of something which one should be very proud of. And one is. And this quality Taj has maintained, I must say. I'm an unofficial brand ambassador of Taj.
You can become official also, it's up to you.
That's very kind. No, I've been always, anywhere that you go, even New York or South Africa or every city over here, the culture in the people who work there, how do you train them to be in that culture? What is the process?
Well, a few things. Firstly, to the Taj Mahal Palace, Mumbai is not just a national monument. We also call it the Temple of Hospitality.
Wow.
So if you have been there, you have worked there, you know, this is, you're living a history of 120 plus years. Now, that's not always happening in various places in the world.
Absolutely.
When it comes to culture, very interesting that you talked about culture. Culture comes from values. You got them from your family, your mother.
Yes.
I got them from my family. The same is, there is a family of Taj. And we tried to define, because everybody used to talk about it, and the term Tajness was coined. And Tajness is not about, you know, some kind of a theoretical value. Tajness is your DNA, which is built on the core values, and we defined then Taj, where we say T stands for the trust. Trust of all stakeholders, 360 degree. Awareness of the communities you live in, awareness of the business you're in, awareness of what you're supposed to do. Mm. And once you know that, what is how you do it is the joy. The J stands for joy in doing everything that you do happily, with a smile, and, you know, never forgetting the purpose. So I think, and it's so simple to remember, trust, awareness, and joy. These core values are the same across all brands.
All brands, absolutely.
So that we have kept as Taj being the guiding force.
I get very upset. I'm that kind of a person. I'm 8 years younger to my country. And so I feel that both of us have grown up together. I've seen ups and downs of this country and then growth. When I go abroad, when I go to the hotels, the hospitality over there is zilch, zero, especially in American hotels. You have to pick up your own luggage. You cannot order things. You have to go down to, and I'm talking about good hotels where you're paying through your nose. What is your reaction? I'm sure you get a royal treatment because of who you are. But if you go anonymously, what is your reaction when you see that?
It's a part of the culture. See, I have always maintained there are three things you can learn as a good manager from three continents. Mm. And that's what I've tried to do even in my own career. Mm. American marketing, European management, and Asian emotional intelligence. Mm. We have a lot of heart, emotion in everything that we do. Mm. And that reflects in the way we serve. Mm. Whether we call it the Atithi Devo Bhavo or service before self, it's a very Asian thing. And within Asia, I would say very Indian, followed by other countries. Because, you know, we represent that emotional part of Asia is India's strength. And the culmination of this gives you the right form of management and hospitality. Now, coming to the service part. It depends how one looks at it. I transitioned back to India. In 28 years in Europe, I was doing the dishwasher. I was doing the washing machine. I would even sometimes iron my clothes and watch a cricket match on TV. You would do the grass also, because I was not born CEO. You know, you worked up the ladder, and many things you would not do because it costs. Labor is a very big expense in the Western part of the world. So when I came back here, even if I like to do sometimes those things, sometimes I don't do, not because it's more convenient, because you're not providing life and livelihood to somebody else who's looking for doing something. So I think it's a paradigm shift as India gets richer and richer. Today, fifth largest economy, maybe next year, next financial year for us, which starts in a few weeks, is maybe the fourth largest economy, and maybe by 2030, the third largest economy. So things will change here too. But I think we should leave US, which is very special. I don't know in which box to fit US, but Europe has a lot of history like India has or like China has.
It's because I brought it up because Indian hotels spoil you. Means
it's good,
which is fantastic. That's why the difference. If I was born there and I would have come here, I would have said, okay, they garland you, they put a tikka, the whole tradition. Now they have started putting
the rose petals
also. It makes you feel literally important.
But I don't know if you know this, that Brand Finance is the most reputed branding agency of the world.
Yeah.
And they measure the brands by scoring them on various metrics. They have been giving Taj the rating of world's strongest hotel brand.
Number one, yes.
Number one for 3 years. Once is number three. The latest is expected. But, you know, whether you're in tennis or you're in cricket, every time you're not the champion.
Absolutely.
As long as we stay among the best, it's already a big honor for the only brand from India to have made it on the global arena. And not just that, Taj is rated as the most like the strongest luxury brand across all sectors in India. So that's been a, that has been for last 5 years, of which 4 years has been as number one, once as number two. So I think all in all, coming from hospitality, something which we learned from the West, we were a poor nation which came, which became independent 8 years before you.
Yeah.
And we had only poverty and hotels was not like the mantra. It was the last priority in any kind of list in terms of providing lives and livelihoods at that point of time. And people like me who went to Europe to learn the European part of hospitality today come back to India and work for a company which boasts of having world's strongest hotel brand. So that would also not be possible if we were not doing service the way we serve our customers.
Absolutely. So India has a lot to offer, like yoga, food, spirituality. What do you see as uniquely Indian that only Bharat can give to the world?
There is nothing which you can bring it down to that one unique thing. There are many unique things. That is because of the speciality of India. So some you listed. One is yoga.
Yes.
Second is obviously
spirituality.
So yoga and spirituality are very, very special. The third, which we have not yet even started, is food tourism. You know, there are places in the world, let's say like San Sebastian in Spain, where people actually travel all the way to San Sebastian, which is a small place but has the most Michelin star restaurants, just to dine.
Right.
Now, India with all its states, with all its specialties that it can offer, can you imagine the potential of both domestic and international tourism just for food? But one thing which will stand out for India, at least in foreseeable future, is not the safaris, because Africa has the safaris. You can go to Kruger. And so we have Madhya Pradesh as the hub, or Kaziranga, or many other places. But one thing nobody has is the palaces. Palace hospitality does not exist anywhere except for in India. And now that palaces is also moving up towards forts. So a few hotels have come up with, where the forts have been converted into hotels.
Yes.
Now just imagine there are certain very renowned palaces in the world. And if we had the opportunity to take over one or the other, and if we get 2, 3, 4 more, we could be the best global palace brand in the world. Which nobody else can do.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I never thought. Exactly. Yeah, PM Modi's Make in India and Incredible India campaigns aim to showcase the country's strengths. Have these efforts improved India's global standing? Do you see that happening?
Absolutely, without doubt. You know, I migrated way back in 1989. And when I went there, I was not a very welcome citizen. Today, when you say you are from India, you already start at, the German word would be Augenhöhe, at the eye level. So it's not that you're inferior to someone or you're superior, but you are at the same level as the eyes, eye contact is. And this would not have been possible if the relentless efforts of the current leadership, Prime Minister, Honorable Prime Minister Modi, had not made. And I sometimes, you know, I don't know if I should be saying this, but I'll say it. I mean, I never saw leaders hug each other. So you see G7, G20, I mean, it's now understood. And that is the body language, which gets you closer. And
that's
that has earned a lot of respect, something very unique and special. But also India during this time has done very well. It's the fastest growing economy among the major large economies. And I see no change happening on that front. It takes a lot to move, I would say, a tanker. But once it starts rolling, it's equally difficult to stop it. So only a world event like, you know, a pandemic or something else, which is beyond...
Also what we did in during pandemic.
During pandemic. It's phenomenal.
Maybe
the best management of pandemic came from India.
And also the supply of
vaccines.
Yeah, of vaccines. I think it was.
Normally, people would have expected a nation like India sits back and waits for somebody to give you vaccines. I don't think anybody ever dreamt, including ourselves, that India would be supplying millions of vaccines to, I don't know, 20, 30, 200 countries in the world. This is, you know, it crossed my imagination. Then comes the pandemic is over, then comes the landing on the southern part of moon, then comes the mission to the sun. You know, it's a lot of activities happening at the same time which make you very proud.
On a personal note, I've always seen you very calm. And I've also seen the backside of the what happens at the backstage in the hotels. It's not an easy job because you have to, when you come out of the from the back door of the hotel, your whole persona is different. How do you remain calm?
The first honest submission would be that it's not always that you are calm. So when I started my career in hotels and when we went through the first challenges, in the 20s, not at all calm. And in the 30s, you know, things start changing. And now, you know, when you have been 40 years in the sector, you've seen so much, you've gone through so many situations that a bit of calmness has a direct correlation with your experience and number of years you've spent in, because you have been in those situations before. It does not come to you as a shock. So your ability to absorb any kind of challenge is higher. And your thought process on what could be the possible solution is like an automatic gear. It's like an automatic system. So, but by nature, I don't think I'm a very calm person.
Really?
I think...
You're not impatient.
I would say I'm driven. I'm looking for always a positive contribution so that you can make a difference.
Wow, that's amazing. My last question to you is, what advice would you give to aspiring hospitality leaders navigating today's market?
Wow. I don't know of, you know, big pearls of wisdom that could come. But one thing I would say is perseverance creates resilience. And
wow,
don't give up. Never, ever, ever give up. Because there is always a solution to every challenge. You may not have it instantly, but it will come. Keep thinking, keep trying, and eventually you will prevail.
Thank you, Puneet Chhatwal, and thank you for watching. Join me again next week as we uncover new layers to the great Indian nation. And let's talk Bharat.
Super.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.